The book of Jonah. We'll begin reading in chapter 1. We're going to read all four verses of the book of Jonah because I want to make a point unto you. And so I want you to see something today. I want to try to use the book of Jonah to try to give you some perspective if I can. And help the Lord give us some perspective this morning. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Isn't it interesting that for all the gods that they were looking for, they understood that there was a God that was over all? Man instinctively knows this, by the way. And they said, everyone to his fellows, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord God, Lord his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple, that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. The Lord God prepared a gourd, and he made it to come up over Jonah, so that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the ground, the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 80,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? 600 or 60,000. That's interesting. I think we've got a bird in the building.
I think we do too. I've heard it.
I can hear it.
I've heard something.
I don't know if it's in the upper area or in the
foyer,
but I'm hearing it somewhere. But anyway, the thing about it is, we look at this and it's just an amazing thing. He says there's 60,000 persons. A score is 20. That's 120,000. That's people in this city that cannot discern between their right hand and their left. In other words, they're infants. They're little babies. And Nineveh at that time was a huge city. It was 3 days to walk across it, of the area that was called Nineveh. So that's an amazing thing when we look at that. But when we look at this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of interesting things. There's a lot of parallels. Of course, Jesus said Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So also shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 nights. He said there's no sign be given unto this generation except the sign of Jonah the prophet, right? That sounds like he's behind me. So he may be up in the top in the thing, so we have to look at that. But anyway, You have those things, and when you look at chapter 2, you look at what happened there, and you read Jonah's prayer, and you look at that, and you can see a great parallel between Christ on Calvary's cross there, and the suffering of Christ. So you see that parallel there. So in that form, Jonah is a type of Christ, and God shows him that, and God uses that for the Jewish people. But I want to pull your attention to something that I think sometimes we miss about what's going on here. You know, Jonah, we find out in chapter 4 that Jonah was upset. He said, I told you this is what was going to happen because you're a gracious God. Jonah did not like the Ninevites. The Assyrians had done great damage to probably maybe even his own family, to Israel, and maybe his close family or whatever the case may be. So his people, that the Assyrians, were brutal and they were vicious and they were very violent people, and especially when they conquered a place. And you read the things about, if you read things in history about the Assyrian kings, they were very not merciful at all. If you read what they did to Israel, the upper 10 tribes, the northern tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel, and when the Assyrians came in and took them away, they were really vicious and brutal when you look at what they did. And so Jonah had a dislike for them, and he did not want God to extend his mercy to them. And so he said that, and so he decided, I'm not going to do what God told me to do. I'm not going to obey God. And so we know all of that story, but I want you to see something. I want you to look beyond the story and look at the circumstances. So we see in chapter 1 that Jonah rose up, verse 3, he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, it's kind of funny that we would think that we could get away from God's presence, but you can't. In the Psalms, he says, whither shall I flee from thy spirit? He said, if I can go up into heaven, you're there. I can make my bed in hell, and thou art there. And there's nowhere I can go to get away from you. So there's the truth of it. You can't flee from the presence of the Lord. You can't flee from somebody who's omnipresent. He's everywhere, right? But that's the fallacy of man. But that's the way we get. We pretend. We're like the little child who wants to pretend he doesn't see. That's the way we get sometimes. But we look at verse 4, it says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Of course, we know the story and everything that happened. It's kind of an amazing thing. There's two times where people that are in a tempest are recorded in the Bible, that I recall. There are two times where people that are in a tempest are down in the ship, and the waves are raging, and the ship's about to sink, and they're sleeping. One was Jesus, who had the peace of God, who knew what God wanted and knew and understood the will of God, and he knew what was going to happen. He wasn't afraid. He had no fear, because he knew his Father's will was going to be done regardless of what happened. He wasn't afraid. And then there's Jonah, who's trying to hide from God and ignore God. Something to think about. And remember what was told in the epistles. He says, awake thou that sleepest, and what? Christ shall give thee light. Let us not sleep as others do, for they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day put on the armor of righteousness, right? We're to put on the armor of righteousness, and we're to do that. So there's Jonah there. He's sleeping. And they come to him and they say, "Hey, what's wrong with you? Get up and pray. Call to your God. We're in trouble here." And then they begin to ask him, "Who's your God?" And they've heard of the God of Jonah. Because when he tells them who he was, they got scared. Have people heard about you? One thing about it is they knew who, they understood what it was to be a prophet of the God of Israel. They knew they were in some trouble. And they understood. And so he told them what to do. He told them his story and he told them what to do, and they didn't want to do it. He said in verse 13, "Nevertheless, the men rode hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." So they were told what they needed to do, and they didn't want to do it. They tried to get past it, but they couldn't. So they finally relented and they cast him in. And then we see, now God, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now before I go on with that and get to the point I want you to see, notice that after they threw Jonah in, the sea ceased from her raging, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. It changed who they were. So, you know, I can just say this about something. God can use you to be a witness, even if you're being disobedient. But I don't know about you, I don't want somebody else to believe on the Lord because they see the calamity that comes upon me for refusing to believe on the Lord. I mean, God can make a difference. And if people who know God exists, they see you and I disobey God, they might get to be afraid of God just because of what happens to us. Because of God's chastening hand. Of course, then we see God's Jonah's prayer in chapter 2. Spoke a little bit of that a minute ago. And then in verse 10, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the land. Jonah goes into Nineveh and preaches. And everybody gets saved. Everybody repents. Or at least they're given mercy, right? God's judgment is delayed. I believe if you go to history, I think his judgment on Nineveh was delayed for 150 years. But if I remember correctly, but you go through that. But Jonah, when he sees it, he gets mad. He's angry. He's upset. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, "I prayed thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thou of the evil." He left because he did not want them to be saved. He did not want them to be a partaker of that mercy which he himself had. That ought to make us examine our own motives. Do we not tell anybody because we don't really care if they have what we have? Kind of ugly way to put it, isn't it? But in the final analysis, what does it mean? What does it mean? Does it mean we just don't care for them? Think about it. But anyway, just go on, and I want you to see something else. He said, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then said the Lord, "Doest thou well to be angry?" He didn't even answer him. And there's a lot I could do with that. That I could preach a whole sermon from that mess, that passage right there. Of God asking people, "Doest thou well to be angry?" You can go back to Cain, as a matter of fact. He asked Cain about it. But the simple fact is, so Jonah went out of the city and sat upon the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And then it says, the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah so that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished for him in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to live, to die than to live. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And he said, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city? So he gives us a lesson about compassion there, doesn't he? Sometimes we care more about things and our own comforts than we do about the souls of men. And that's not a good way to live. But I want you to see something here. I want you to understand something here. It says, the Lord prepared a great fish. Right? The Lord, he brought us, well, let's go back to the beginning. It says, he sent out a great wind into the sea. It says, he prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. It says, he prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. And then it says, he prepared a worm to smite the gourd. And then it said, he prepared a vehement east wind. I would say to you that God knew exactly which way the wind needed to come to cause Jonah trouble, because Jonah had already made him a booth, but Jonah's booth was inadequate. And if there was an opening, God sent a wind to get into that opening. And a lot of times we like to forsake our walk with God for other things that we might think we have comfort in, but they can't keep God out. If God wants to get you, he's going to get to you. But notice it said, God prepared, God prepared, God prepared, God prepared. God prepared. When God prepared the wind, when God prepared the fish, when God prepared the gourd, when God prepared the worm, when God prepared the wind, the east wind, what was God preparing? What was God preparing? It ought to be self-evident, but I don't think we think of it that way. When God prepared and sent the wind, and God prepared the fish, and God prepared the gourd, and God prepared the worm, and God prepared the wind, the east wind, the vehement east wind, to blow right where it would cause Jonah the most trouble. When God prepared the wind to chase and sent the wind to chasten Jonah, and when God prepared the fish or the whale or whatever terminology you want to use to swallow Jonah, and when God prepared the gourd to rise up and cover and provide shade that exceeded what Jonah himself had made with his own little booth and his own pitiful little efforts to get away from that. When God prepared that gourd to cover him, and he was exceeding glad of the gourd, and it was a relief to him. And then when God prepared the worm to take the gourd and its shade and the shadow away, and then when God prepared the vehement east wind, what was God preparing? What was God preparing? God was preparing a man. God was preparing a man. He's working in Jonah's life. He's dealing with Jonah's hatred. He's dealing with Jonah's... Jonah didn't really have a problem with unbelief. He knew what God was going to do, and he believed what God was going to do. He knew God was merciful. He knew God was gracious. He ran the other way, his area of unbelief and arrogance toward God was that he could somehow stop God from doing what God wanted to do. He didn't want what God wanted. And God prepares us throughout our life to want what God wants. If you are a child of God, we've talked so many times about the chastening hand of God and the teaching of God and the direction of God and all the things that we talk about. But if you are honest and you look at your life, you will be able to see times of God's mercy, times of God's chastening, times where God may have brought you to your knees to get you to a point where you would trust Christ as your Savior. Or, as a Christian, you would see how God is dealing with you to try to get you into a path of faith and obedience towards Him. That's why, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth, right? And if we endure chastening, God dealeth with us as with sons, says in the book of Hebrews. But the things that are going on in your life right now, the things that we deal with in this world, not just on a personal day-to-day basis, not just the things that are within your control, but the things that are outside of control, God intends for those to prepare us to be who He wants us to be. God can use all of these things. There's an old hymn called Day by Day. I'm not sure if it's in our new hymn books or not. Let me look in there and see if I can find it. But this kind of focuses it on me. Let me see if I can find the deal here. Huh? 332. And I always remembered this hymn because of this let's see if I can find the first verse. Says, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Now think about that. That in a nutshell is what's going on with Jonah. Whether Jonah's obedient or disobedient. Whether he does this thing willingly or not. Paul talked about his call to preach the gospel. He said, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. God's given me a task. God's given me a job. And I'm going to be responsible for it whether I do it willingly or not. Whether I do it willingly or not at all. There's still a purpose. But God uses the world. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Jonah is being prepared. God's not just preparing a wind and a fish and a worm and a gourd and a vehement east wind. He's not just doing that. On a whim. His goal is to prepare a man. And I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I want you to understand something. Whatever reason is coming around, and some things are common to all men, some things are different. Truth is, everything's common to all men. We all deal with age. We all deal with death. We all deal with sickness. We all deal with pain. We all deal with the consequences of bad behavior. We all deal with those things. Everything that. But God can use all of these things to prepare you. I spoke this morning that I could tell you things that have happened unto me that would make you blush. And you know, I've known other people that have had similar or the same things happen to them, and their life is a mess. And I say mine's not by the grace of God. The only difference there is the Lord believing God. It's the only difference. The only difference is I believe God more than they did. That's the only difference. Some people can't forgive. And they will always lag behind in spirituality to those who can. Those who believe God that they can. I could go down the list of the ills of humanity, but I want you to understand something, and you need to see your life differently. We need to see our lives, and God is using whatever is at hand to deal with us. We run all different directions when it comes to running from God. We try to flee from the presence of the Lord. We try to ignore Him. We try to do everything like we can. America ignored God. What happened? 9/11. Now we're making the same stupid mistake. You know, when 9/11 came, everybody was praying and everybody was asking God for forgiveness and mercy. And now we're at the same point. Now, again, we're here we are again, and everybody's forgot. I don't think it's going to take 150 years for God's judgment to come on America the way it did Nineveh. But in all of that, all things aside, the question is you and me. God used these things in Noah's life, and God did things and allowed things and caused things in some cases in Noah's life to prepare a man, not just a worm. The wind and the worm and the fish and the gourd, they were prepared to prepare another, to make him what he's supposed to be. We don't get to see all of Jonah's story, do we? We don't know what happened to him. As far as I can recall in the Bible, it's never given to me what happened to Jonah and whether he did anything more or less after this one book we have, these four chapters. But he's mentioned by the Lord, isn't he? His story is a picture of God's message to the nation of Israel and to the world. And a picture of Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And we see that. But let's not forget that God also took time in the midst of all these great things that He did. In the midst of dealing with an entire nation of people in a great city about their wickedness and extending mercy to them. In the midst of all the things he was doing, he was working in the life of Jonah. He was preparing Jonah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the service today. Father, thank you for your word of God. I pray you'd help us to see the things that are happening in our life through the lens of the word of God, that we could see that the things that happen, just like the Apostle Paul, when he was put in prison for the preaching of the gospel, he said that he wanted people to understand that the things that had happened unto him had fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, that you were working and you had a plan and you had a purpose and you had a reason for the why and the how of why, what things happened. So Lord, help us to realize that though there are many times things happen that we would rather not, that we would not, that Lord, you can use those things for your glory, and that you use those things to prepare us and to make us what we ought to be and to get us on the path we need to stay on. Help us, Lord, to see, help us to understand, and Lord, help us to take notice of all those things you prepare to prepare us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.